ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Welcome to the Bhagavad Gita class in the full house tonight. Tonight we're reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 4, text number 9. Janma karma cha me divyam evam yogeti tatpataha Yagdva dehan punar janma Naiti mameti so arjuna Janma karma cha me divyam Evam yogeti tatpataha Yagdva dehan punar janma Naiti mameti so arjuna Word for word, jama, birth, kama, work, cha, also, me, of mine, divyam, transcendental, evam, like this, aha, anyone who, veti, knows, tavataha, in reality, Jagya, leaving aside, Deham, this body, Punaha, again, Janma, birth, Na, never, Eti, does attain, Mam, unto me, Eti, does attain, Saha, he, Arjuna, O Arjuna. Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The Lord descent from His transcendental abode is already explained in the sixth verse. Sixth verse says, although I am unborn, my transcendental body never deteriorates, and although I am the Lord of all living entities, I still appear in every millennium in my original transcendental form. One who understands the truth of the appearance of the personality of Godhead is already liberated from material bondage and therefore returns to the kingdom of God immediately after quitting this present material body. Such liberation of the living entity from material bondage is not at all easy. Impersonalists and yogis attain liberation only after much trouble and many, many births. Even the liberation they achieve, merging with the Brahman, impersonal Brahma Yogi of the Lord, is only partial. and there's a risk of returning to this material world. But the devotee, simply by understanding the transcendental nature of the body and activities of the Lord, attains the abode of the Lord. After ending this body, and does not run the risk of returning to this material world. Brahma Samhita 5:33, it is stated, the Lord has many, many forms and incarnations, Advaitam, Achyutam, Anandim, Anantarupam. Although there are many transcendental forms of the Lord, they are still one and the same personality Godhead. One has to understand this fact with conviction, although it's incomprehensible to the mundane scholars and the empiric philosophers. As stated in the Vedas, Eko Devo Nityo Lila Nu Rurakto Bhakta Yapi Vijatir Atma. The one Supreme Personal God is eternally engaged in many, many transcendental forms in relation with his unloyed devotees. This Vedic version is confirmed in this verse of Bhagavad Gita, personally by the Lord. He who accepts his truth on the strength of the authority of the Vedas, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and does not waste time in philosophical speculation, attains the highest perfection of liberation. Simply by accepting this truth and faith, one can without a doubt attain liberation. The Vedic version, Tvam Tat Tvam Asi, is actually applied in this case. Anyone who understands Lord Krishna to be the Supreme, or who says unto the Lord, you are the same Brahman, the personality of Godhead, is certainly liberated instantly. Consequently, his entrance into the transcendental association of the Lord is guaranteed. In other words, such a faithful devotee attains perfection, and this is confirmed by the following Vedic assertion. Tam eva vivivat mityu eti naya panta vajite yan naya. One can attain the perfect stage of liberation from birth and death simply by knowing the Lord, the Supreme Personality Godhead. There's no other way to achieve this perfection. Svesta Svarta Upanishad 3.8, that there's no alternative, means anyone who does not understand Lord Krishna as the Supreme Personality Godhead is surely in the mode of ignorance, and consequently he will not attain salvation simply, so to speak, by licking the outer surface of the bottle of honey, or by interpreting the Bhagavad Gita according to mundane scholarship. Such empiric philosophers may assume very important roles in the material world, but they are not necessarily eligible for liberation. Such puffed-up mundane scholars have to wait for the causeless mercy of the devotee of the Lord. One should cultivate Krishna consciousness with faith and knowledge, in this way attain perfection. Om Arganaturam Dasyaj Namjana Sakara Saksuri Me Dasme Sri Guru Venmaha Sri Chaitanya Namodi Stam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Kanti Swapavantikam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Guru Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudeva Gaura Bhaktavinoda. Can you hear it properly? Jama karma chame nivyam evam yoviti tapitaha chagva deham punar jama mati mama iti so arjuna. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. So this is considered one of the most important verses of the Bhagavad Gita, along with Mamana Bhava Mabhakto and Sarvadhamma Pariksitja. So liberation is available by hearing about the birth and activities of the Lord. The Lord appears for this purpose, and why the Lord speaks this verse, and this is why the Lord speaks this verse, so that one can get out of this material world. So he says here, one who knows Krishna in truth does not take birth again. So there's two kinds of knowledge, jnana and vijnana. Jnana is theoretical knowledge. We hear about Krishna and we hear his pastimes, but this is, we can repeat this, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but we may not have realized it or understood it in truth. It's like if there's a sound on the roof, we can speculate what that sound is. If someone goes on the roof and comes back and tells you what the sound is, then you'll know the truth. Tadvidi paripratena paripratena sevaja vipityagyanti tyagyana skanastapa darshanaha. So one who accepts to accept the spiritual master and acquire from sinistry and the service unto him, he can impart knowledge unto you because he's seen the truth. So this, we get gyan by reading Srila Prabhupada's books, but vigyan is realized knowledge. That is not so readily available to the conditioned souls. Yasa deve prabhaktir, yasa deve tata guru. Tatsaita kaitita hi artha praksane praksan mahatmanaha. Only to those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master are all the imports of vague knowledge automatically revealed. So faith, the three kinds of devotees, the Kanista Adhikari, Madhyama Adhikari, Uttama Adhikari. And these three devotees are classified according to their faith. Faith or Shraddha. Faith means to have faith in something sublime. So the Kanista Adhikari, the neophyte devotee, his faith is very, very weak. And he can be swayed if he hears other philosophies. He can leave Krishna consciousness. Then, but, and the Kanista Adhikari, they're they worship the deity, but they don't understand that the super soul is in every living being, and they don't know how to respect the devotees. Srila Prabhupada said, the devotee comes to your house, comes to your place, where you, when you're doing puja, then you can stop your puja for the time being, just to welcome that devotee, receive that devotee. So service to the Vaishnavas is more pleasing to the Lord than service to the Lord Himself. But one is a Ganista Bhakta, he may not understand that. And the Ganista Bhaktas are also quarrelsome and are very weak in their sadhana, weak in their, not very strong in Krishna consciousness. But then, because their faith is weak, the Madhyamarikara, the second class devotee, he has love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He makes friendship with the devotees. He avoids those people who are inimical, the atheists, demons, and he preaches to the innocent. So the second class devotee, his faith is very strong, and it's less likely that a Madhyamarikari is going to fall away from Krishna consciousness. Generally, those who are preaching Krishna consciousness, they are on the Madhyamarikari platform, or should be at least, because they have some appreciation for the Lord, they have some appreciation for Prabhupada and the devotees, they make friends with the devotees, they preach to the innocent and avoid the demons or the atheists. But this distinction must be there. But the Uttamarikari has firm faith, and his faith cannot be shaken in any circumstance. When Srila Prabhupada went to America, he had 40 rupees in his pocket, which was, it was 8 rupees to a dollar, so that was, how much? 8 rupees to the dollar, so 40 rupees is $5. So he said that was 2 hours spending in New York. Now it's 1 hour spending, 1 minute spending. Anyway, but Prabhupada had faith in the order of his spiritual master, and he sent a letter to his godbrother that he could never be fall into Maya, or into illusion. And Prabhupada was, it says that the Uttamarikari is one who doesn't actually see things the same way we do. He sees Krishna in everything. But the Uttamarikari has to come down to the level of the Madhyamarikari to preach. That doesn't mean he diminishes his position. He's still an Uttamarikari, but the Uttamarikari doesn't make distinction between devotee and non-devotee. He sees everyone as serving Krishna, except for himself, because he has great humility. So the Uttamarikari comes down to the Madhyamarikari platform so he can preach, because a preacher has to make distinctions. It's the offense to the holy name to preach the glories of the holy name to the faithless. So a preacher has to distinguish who is innocent and who wants to hear his Krishna conscious philosophy and who doesn't. We approach many people. If they don't want to hear, we say thank you very much and we go to someone else. We don't try to tell someone that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead if they're not willing to hear that. So the importance of this verse is that Krishna appeared in this world 5,000 years ago. course, Krishna's appearance is not a by the same way as an ordinary living entity appears, not by seminal discharge. But Krishna appeared out of his Atma Maya, out of his own sweet will, by the arrangement of Yoga Maya. And Krishna appeared, he appeared in the mind of Vasudeva, and then he was transferred to the womb of Devaki. And then Krishna took birth in Mathura. But actually, at that time, Mother Yasoda in Vrindavan also gave birth to a child. But she was sleeping after giving birth, and she didn't know whether the child was a boy or a girl. So to protect baby Krishna, because Vasudeva and Devaki were afraid if Kamsa would kill this child, although it was not possible to kill Krishna. So Vasudeva took baby Krishna by Yogamaya's arrangement. He was in prison, he was in jail, but by Yogamaya's arrangement, all the doorkeepers, all the prison guards fell asleep, all the chains and shackles came off, and the doors opened, and Vasudeva, Krishna's father, put Krishna in a basket and carried him across the Yamuna to the house of Nanda Maharaj. And at that time, Mother Yasoda was sleeping, so he exchanged the baby Krishna with the baby Yasoda, which was Yogamaya or Subhadra. And at that time, the Nandanandan Krishna. Krishna never takes one step out of Vrindavan. So how is he born in Mathura? Mathura is not part of the 12 forests of Vrindavan. Mathura is a different realm where the Aishwarya Bhav. So that question, that answer is not given in the Krishna book. How Krishna could take birth in Mathura and then come to Vrindavan. But the answer is given in the 10th canto purport by Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, and it says that simultaneously when Vasudeva brought baby Krishna to Mother Yasoda, he merged into the original Nandanandana Krishna, who had taken birth simultaneously with the daughter, with the Subhadra. And then Vasudeva took the daughter back to Mathura. So this is the understanding of how Krishna takes birth in this material world. And the Prabhupada says in his birth that liberation is not easy. But Krishna and Krishna's different, and the different Vishnu incarnations, they give liberation to the demons. But that liberation is merging into the Brahman effulgence. And that liberation is risky because you can fall back into the material world from that, from impersonal Brahman liberation. So this liberation is not desired by devotees. Devotees consider Brahman liberation to be spiritual suicide. And for the devotee, the liberation and Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha, the four pillars of material life, they stand with folded hands in front of the devotee as he leaves the material world and goes to the spiritual world. So devotee, we want to have some rasa. In the Brahma Yoti, there's no rasa, no activity. So the but in Vaikuntha and Golok, there's different, the Lord has his different pastimes. And when devotee goes back to Godhead, he doesn't lose his identity. In this material world, we have a material body, ahankara. We think we're this material body. It says the foolish living entities, they cannot understand how they accept this body or how they quit this body under the spell of the modes of nature. But one who has eyes of knowledge can see this. The endeavoring transcendentals can see all this clearly. But those whose eyes are not developed and not engaged in self-realization cannot see what's taking place, even if they try to. So the non-devotees, they cannot understand anything about the spiritual world, about Krishna, as long as they're engaged in sinful activities, as long as they're in the mode of passion and ignorance. So the whole process of Krishna consciousness is to purify our existence so we can give up the bondage, give up the any attachments we may have to this material world. It says also that there's a banyan tree which has its roots up and branches down, and its leaves are the Vedic hymn. One who knows this tree is the knower of the Vedas. The form of this tree cannot be perceived in this world. How it begins, how it ends, or how it is extended. But with determination, one must cut down this tree with the weapon of detachment, and thereby seek that place which, having once gone, one never comes back to this material world. And one surrenders unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has existed since time immemorial. The living entity, one who is free from false prejudices, illusion, false association, who knows how to associate, free from lust and anger, can attain to that supreme abode, or that the kingdom. But this is the qualification. We have to be free from lust, anger, and all material association. The hearing of the sixth canto, Dadichi Muni, was asked by the demigods to give his bones so they can make a thunderbolt weapon for Lord Indra to kill Vritasura. Naturally, no one in this material world wants to give his body for any reason. Everyone's attached to the body. We think we're this body, therefore we're attached to this body. No one's going to say, you can have my body. And because we know at the time of death, it's a very painful situation. It says that the soul can no longer tolerate the pain at the time of death. Then he is released from that body and goes to another body. So death is a very painful situation, and we're not willing to give up this material body. People, if you ask people, are you afraid of death, they'll say no. But if you take a gun and hold it to their head, then you can see whether they're afraid of death or not. So generally, people are afraid of death because they don't know what death means and because they're attached to their material body. But the DJ Muni, he was a great sage, and he was not attached to his body. So he went into samadhi, took shelter at the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu, and then he gave up his body voluntarily. And then they killed him, but he wasn't in the body anymore. He was out of the body. He didn't feel any pain because his soul was transferred to, he attained liberation. He went back to Godhead. So he was willing to give up his body. But that was a special case. But in most cases, we still have so many attachments, so many anarthas, and they have to be removed before we can actually come to understand Krishna in truth. In the Brahma Samhita, it says, Advaitam Achyutam Anandin Anantarupam Ajapuranam Purusham Navayonam Cha Edesha Durlabhama Durlabhama Ama Bhakto Govinda Mahari Purusha Tamaha Bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primal Lord, who is inaccessible to the Vedas, but attainable by pure unalloyed devotion of the soul, who is without a second, who is not subject to decay, without beginning, whose form is endless, who is beginning and the eternal Purusha. That he is a person possessing the beauty of blooming youth. And it also says that I worship Govinda, primal Lord. Only the tip of the toe of the whose lotus feet is approached by the yogis who aspire after the transcendental and partake themselves to pranayam by drilling the respiration, or by jnanis who try to find out the non-differentiated Brahman by the process of elimination of the mundane, extended over thousands of millions of years. So by yoga practice, or by jnana, or yoga, or karma, one cannot attain Krishna. But Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, in chapter 11 and chapter 18, Bhaktyamam Abhijananti, that I can only be understood by pure devotional service. And the jnanis and the yogis must, they're taking to the indirect process. Bhakti yoga is a direct process. If you want to get to the, if you go to the Empire State Building, there's 100 floors. So if you want to get to the 100th floor, you can walk up the stairs. But they always have stairs for emergencies in big buildings. So you walk up the stairs, by the time you get to the office, they say, sorry, we're closed. Come back tomorrow. But if you take the elevator, then you can get there in 5 or 10 minutes. So this is the difference between jnana yoga, karma yoga, these different processes. They are indirect, and most of the time they're not successful. And also it is stated that the bhakti element must be there in karma and jnana to some degree for them to be successful. So bhakti mama majananti, Krishna says, only by pure devotional service can I be understood. So this is the what we're practicing. It also says, to him who's conquered the mind is the best of friends. For one who has conquered the mind, the super soul has already reached, for he's attained tranquility. So such a man, happiness is just, he called, honor or dishonor are all the same. So they asked Srila Prabhupada if he could speak to God. One reporter asked Srila Prabhupada if he could speak to God. And Prabhupada said yes. And then the devotee who was with Prabhupada tried to give some explanation. And Prabhupada stopped him and said, no, I speak to God. So here it says, if you can conquer your mind, then you can, the super soul has already reached. So Krishna's there. He appeared in the material world 5,000 years ago. He appeared in the material world 500 years ago as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he's also in everyone's heart as super soul. But Prabhupada wrote his Bhaktivedanta purports. He said he was taking dictation from super soul. And it was his transcendental spiritual ecstasies in those purports. of Srila Prabhupada led a very rigid life. He traveled all over the world 14 times in 12 years to preach Krishna consciousness at the age of advanced age of over 70 years old. And at the same time, he would rise early. He would take rest at 10 o'clock, rise at 12 o'clock, chant japa, then he would chant Srimad Bhagavatam, which was his life's mission, translate Srimad Bhagavatam for a few hours, then he'd go on his morning walk, then he'd give Bhagavatam class, and of so many things he would do. So he, even though he was traveling and preaching and meeting so many people and doing so many things, he still was determined to translate Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and other books to leave as the law books. These are considered law books for the next 10,000 years. And if people, I have some punya, some pious activities, some pious credits, then they can begin to read Srila Prabhupada's books and get some appreciation of Srila Prabhupada's books and become devotees. This happened in many cases where someone was very evil-minded, sinful, wicked, cruel, angry, the Avanti Brahman in the 11th canto. He was a very bad person. And then he lost all his wealth. Renunciation came in his heart, and he took sannyas and took up devotional service. Or he dedicated his life to the service of the Lord, and he was so detached that whatever happened to him, sometimes people would beat him, they would tie him up, or take his clothes, or they'd pass water on his prasadam. Whatever happened to him, he took it as the mercy of the Lord, and he never complained or said anything. So he's like the python man. Prahlada Maharaj met a python man in the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. He was just sitting in one place. So the python man explained to Prahlada Maharaj that he was just depending on whatever came by the mercy of the Lord. You know, Madhavendra Puri, the great devotee of the Lord, he would never ask for prasadam. So whatever came by its own accord, he accept. If nothing came, he would fast. So the python man, he was also like that. He just stayed in one place. Sometimes he got opulent food, sometimes he didn't. Sometimes he had opulent clothes, sometimes he had a bed, sometimes he had this, that. But he didn't ask anybody for anything or ask the Lord for anything. He was simply a sold-out devotee. So this is what required, that we have to be surrendered to soul, surrendered to Krishna, surrendered to the process of devotional service. And Queen Kunti, she's also praying that may I sever my attachments for the Vrishnis and the Yadus and the Pandavas so that she could get pure devotional service. It says Akinchana Grotsura, if one is detached from all material activities, then one can get the mercy of the Lord. As long as we're in the material world and still under the control of modes of nature, then we cannot expect to become Krishna conscious. So it's the Krishna comes every day of Brahma. He comes as in the Dwarpa Yuga. And at the same time, Lord Chaitanya comes in the Kali Yuga. When Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was in the Jagannath Temple, Lord Chaitanya came there alone. And when he saw Lord Jagannath, he went into ecstasy and fainted and fell on the ground. And the Chokidar, the watchman, wanted to beat him, thinking he was a crazy man. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya stopped him, took the Lord to his house, and he examined the Lord, and he could understand the Lord Chaitanya was experiencing Mahabhav, the highest form of spiritual ecstasy. Then the devotees came to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's house and chanted very loudly the Lord Chaitanya's ear, and after some time he gained external consciousness. Samo Mahavanadaya Krishna Prem Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Guru Tatsavinaha. That Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was a reservoir of all bad logic. So even though Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was in his house, he couldn't accept him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. His brother-in-law, Gopinath Acharya, was a great devotee of the Lord. So he explained to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he said, "You are call yourself a learned scholar, but why don't you accept the version of the Srimad Bhagavatam? Krishna Varnam Trisha Krishnam Sangam Panga Ashutam Yagnir Sankitan Prayer Jantihi Sumedashaha." Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was saying that Krishna doesn't incarnate in Kali Yuga, because some places it says one name for the Lord is Tri Yuga. But it says in Bhagavatam that in that verse that Lord Chaitanya comes in the, not in a black complexion, but in yellow complexion. And at the birth ceremony, at the name giving ceremony of, or when they did the astrological calculations of Krishna Balaram and Gargacharya Gargamuni, the priest for the Yadu dynasty, said that Krishna appears in four yugas, in red color, white color, black color, and yellow color. So Lord Chaitanya is the Channa avatar, or the hidden avatar, because he is playing the role of a devotee. But there's no doubt about it, in Srimad Bhagavatam and Mahabharata also confirm that Lord Chaitanya was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so the Lord came 5,000 years ago and to perform his wonderful activities, so we can hear about those activities. Nasta prayashu abdeshu nityam bhagata sevaya. So we, by constantly hearing about the Lord's activities, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita, then the heart becomes cleansed. We can hear about the Lord, we can hear about his activities, until our heart is pure, we'll not be able to get a full appreciation and experiencing exact symptoms. So Lord Chaitanya came 500 years ago, and at the same time, he incarnated, the holy name of the Lord incarnated with Lord Chaitanya. The chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So Krishna and his name, Namachintamani Krishna, Rasa Vigraha, that there's no difference between Krishna and Krishna's name. So every day we're chanting Krishna's name, and if we chant without offense, we can come to the level of Namabhas, and then we can come to the level of Shudanam. Haridas Thakur compared the holy name is like the sun. When the sun is in the sky, you can see it. It's very clear. But when there's clouds, it's not visible. But the sun is still there. So if we're chanting Namaparad or Namabhas, there's still clouds are there. So we're not getting the full sunshine or the full benefit of the holy name. So even if one chants 64 rounds, Haridas Thakur says that if he doesn't feel ecstatic symptoms, hair standing on end, tears come from his eyes, body shivering, that means he's still materially attached. So one may chant 64 rounds, but he's not really chanting the pure name, he's chanting a semblance of the name. But if one's chanting the pure name, then he will be exhibiting ecstatic symptoms, which we see in all the devotees of Lord Chaitanya, how much they were absorbed in ecstatic symptoms and how much tears were coming from their eyes and how they're falling on the ground unconscious in so many different ways, still being ecstatic symptoms. So the scientists, the atheists, they're called Maya Prakriti Gyan. The knowledge is stolen by illusion. The Prabhupada was in his garden talking to scientists. He said, "We're saying Krishna is God. You don't know who God is, so why don't you take it from us?" So this is what happened. It says, because their minds are not developed and not engaged in self-realization, they can't see what is taking place, even if they try to. Even if someone could count all the atoms in the universe, Lord Brahma says, they'll still not be able to understand the qualities of the Supreme Personality Godhead. Even Seshanag, with thousands of hoods, is always engaged in glorifying the Lord, cannot come to the end of those glories. So, one who knows my transcendental nature, appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take birth again in this material world, attain my abode, O Arjuna. So we have to become absorbed in Krishna consciousness by hearing Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, hearing and chanting about the Lord's name, form, qualities, pastimes, and try to give up all anarthas, all unwanted things, all material attachments that don't don't help us to cultivate Krishna consciousness. Especially in Vrindavan, this is a place where Krishna has passed on 5,000 years ago, so we should utilize our time very wisely while we're living in Vrindavan, not to waste our time with talking unnecessary about mundane subject matters or doing things which are adverse to this becoming Krishna conscious. We should try our best to always be engaged 24 hours a day, at least when we're awake. When we're sleeping, we can't control our activities, our mind. We may be dreaming, but at least in our waking hours, we should try not to waste our time in anything but Krishna conscious activities, so we will be able to think of Krishna at the time of death. Even if we don't think of Krishna at the time of death, Krishna is in your heart, super soul, and he will think of you at the time of death if you're his sold out devotee. Because Krishna told the gopis that he was indebted to them. He said he can never repay their debt. So Krishna says, "One who preaches his message, no one is more dear to me than he." So if we can't think of Krishna, Krishna will think of you. And if we remain in Krishna consciousness as devotees, then we'll not have to go to the Yamaraj and be judged and take birth again in lower species of life. So this is the goal of Krishna consciousness, to try to understand the truth about Krishna. It is not some mythology. It is factual, it is real, and Prabhupada explains it in his books very clearly, and those of devotees have no doubt about it, that Krishna conscious philosophy, Krishna conscious activities, all everything in Krishna consciousness is the best way to utilize our human form of life. So even if we don't go back to Godhead in this life, says Nivikramashana Shosti, there's no loss or diminution. It's like a spiritual bank account. Whatever you do in this life, then it goes with the subtle body, the mind, intelligence, and ego to your next body, and you can take up Krishna consciousness again until finally you perfect your Krishna consciousness and are promoted to the spiritual world. But actually, in Vaidhi Bhakti, we go to Vaikuntha. From Raganuga Bhakti, we have to follow in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan. So therefore, we have to take birth, or Krishna's having his Nitya Lila in the material world, and take birth from the womb of a gopi, and get trained up further how to serve Krishna. Sambandhan Gyan Abhideya Prajna. So Sambandhan Gyan is understanding our relationship with Krishna. Abhideya is how to engage in service to Krishna, and Prajna is the complete perfection or attaining pure love for God. So the next verse also says that those being free from attachment, fear and anger, being silly absorbed in me, taking refuge in me, many persons in the past became purified by knowledge of me, and thus they all attain transcendental love for me. So this is the purpose of this Krishna conscious movement, is to teach people how to love God. That's what they ask Prabhupada, what was his mission. He said to teach people how to love God. And they asked him if he thought Christianity had failed the people, and he said, yes, I think so. Because Christianity or other so-called religions in the world don't teach people how to love God. When Prabhupada was speaking to Cardinal Dialou in France, he was trying to explain to the cardinal that one should not kill cows and eat meat. And he said, because it's sinful. And if you're sinful, you can't love God. But the cardinal was giving so many excuses why they should eat meat. He said the children are hungry and there's no soul in the animal and so many other misconceptions. So we have to follow the four regulated principles: no meeting, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex, chant 16 rounds at least every day, and this way we can go back home. We won't have to take birth again in this material world and suffer. So we can stop there.